do my best to finish CMT today.
Okay, so sometimes sometimes we can guess what is the corresponding operator to a state. So in particular, if I have a state, there are no oscillators, but this state carries a non-trivial momentum, meaning that p mu f equals k mu comma k. So if I look at this state and I ask what is the corresponding operator that I need to insert, well, so if I think about a wave function corresponding to a state carrying carrying a momentum k, so for this state, if I make a translation, x mu goes to x mu plus a mu, right? So space-time translation. So we know how the wave function will transform. And so what will happen is that this state will get simply a phase. And so this phase is going to be equal e to the ika, 0, comma k. So that's what we know. That's what we know from our quantum mechanics. And so we might try to guess. So can we come up with an operator which has exactly the same transformation properties under the space-time translations? And it's easy to make this guess. So it's e to the I k mu. So this is the operator that has exactly the same transformation properties. Okay, good. So so what I want to do now, I want to actually talk. So the discussion that we had before was a little bit heuristic, and I want to get a little bit more precise. And so we talk. We talk about relations between operators and states in S integral formula. So the first thing, what I promise you, we will do. So you give me an operator that sits in the origin, and what we want to do, we want to construct the state, okay, corresponding to this. And so the way this is done is that we're going to construct a Schrodinger wave function corresponding to operator A. So this is the Schrodinger wave function corresponding to the operator A. Right? So this I say wave function. You have to think of this as a wave functional. It will depend on the fields, right? So I'm going to put it phi sub v. So what I'm writing so far is general. So it's applicable to any CFT. You can ask the question, if you give me a state, what is the core? You have some operator, local operator in there. You have some local operator in this theory, what is the corresponding Schrodinger wave functional? And so what you have to do, you have to evaluate the path integral, right? So here I have each of my this S So here I have a local operator a of zero, and so when I evaluate this path integral, I have to provide some boundary condition, right? So I have to require. So we can be a little bit more specific. So we can think that we're defining this Schrodinger wave functional, say at absolute value of z equals to 1. Right? So what I have an integral. I have an integral to d to z. So this is an integral of a unit disk. Right? So I integrate over all possible field configuration up to that equal one. That's if you reset the time at which I define my Schrodinger wave functional. And so I integrate over all possible fields such that there is a boundary condition, right? So that phi on the unit disk on the unit circle equals to phi bounding. In other words, I evaluate a pass integral up to the time at which I specify my Schrodinger wave function, and I evaluate it with the boundary conditions on the fields that they take exactly the same value as the argument of the functional.
Yeah.
Right. It's a very natural definition of the wave function, and it's actually would correspond to if you write down quantum mechanics in a pass integral formalism. So that's what you would actually call the Schrodinger wave function. Okay, so in this picture, it's really clear. So I told you exactly how to construct this state. Right, all we have to do is to evaluate this passing. So what we want to do, we want to actually go backwards, and going backwards in a pass integral is slightly more complicated. So here, this is the relation from the operator, and we go back to the state. And so now, what we want to do, we want to see how in this pass integral formalism, how do we go from this state? So what does a pass integral describe, right? So the pass integral with the slice, when I slice it, right? So for example, here, instead of integrating over the whole z plane, right, I just integrated over a unit disk, right? So the way how you have to think of this is that if there are some non-trivial conditions that I impose on my fields at, you know, at minus infinity in time or at the origin in the z plane, then this wave functional describes the propagation of the initial state, right, to a final state. From t equals minus infinity to t equals zero, right? So this the pass integral, so the pass integral above so it describes the propagation. State initial at sigma 2 equals minus infinity to a final state at t at sigma 2 equals to 0. Okay. The reason I'm saying t there is 0 here is because if you follow the conformal map, absolute value of that equals 1, that corresponds to sigma 2 equals 0. Because sigma 2 is the log of absolute value of that, right? Right. So to be more precise, what I need here, I also have, so I provided the boundary conditions for the field. At t equal to zero, but strictly speaking, I also have to specify that there is those. I have to prescribe the appropriate boundary condition sigma 2 equals to minus infinity, right? So I integrate over particular. still a configuration of fields which satisfy some initial boundary condition, and there is a final field configuration, right? And I propagate it from minus infinity to zero. Okay, so is that clear so far? Okay, good. So now what I want to do, I want to make this picture slightly more complicated, right? So what I can do, right? So I want to integrate, I want to propagate a Schrodinger wave function not from the initial state, but from some intermediate state. So this inner radius r, the outer radius, is 1. So here, the time tau 2 equals log r, right? And so here, again, tau sigma 2 equals to 1.
Sorry, that's just a general question. Does this relate back to the expectation value of the operator gain, like what we were talking about when we initially?
Right. So when we talk about the expectation value, right? So then what we do, we integrate over all possible field configuration. So we prescribe field configuration. We do not. That's what they meant by cut the path integral open, right? So I cut the path integral at a specific time. So if I would continue and evaluate past infinity with a certain prescribed boundary conditions there, then it would be a matrix element. Then this past integral will be a matrix element of the operator A0 between initial and the final state. Right? So what I do here is that think of it that there is an initial state and there is this operator A that acts in initial state, and I propagate the combination up to certain time. Okay. And I write and I ask the question, what is the wave function of the states that I will get? And so that wave function is described as this person. Okay. So if you wish that if I push this up to infinity, the wave functions that I will get will be just whatever final state. So if I just compute there. So I'm thinking that I'm projecting it on a specific final state. Right? And then this guy will become just a simple matrix out of the initial final. Okay. Good. So here there is a Schrodinger wave function corresponding to the state here. And so that's a functional of phi sub b, right? And I denoted it. Sorry, it's a time t to zero, right? So here I have a prime wave function, right? And so it also depends on phi prime. I'm trying to get the boundary state. And so what I'm going to do now, I'm just going to look at a specific path integral. So I compute a path integral. So I'm calculate over all values of phi, right? So I have I e to the minus s. Right, so here, my integral is over panels over this shaded region. So I don't integrate now up to the origin. I integrate at the value of z larger than r but less than one. And there is the action entering there. And so here what I do, I have psi prime. There is a wave function, and then I integrate here. I have just an ordinary integral over all possible, over over all possible phi sub e prime. So what this class integral corresponds to, right? So I have a prime state. I have a prime state. It describes by Schrodinger wave function psi prime. And so what I'm doing, I'm evolving this state. So this state is defined at some time log r. And so I took this state and I evolved this state so this is I'm going to put this as a, it's not the final state, right? Because usually we define final states at plus infinity, but let me still keep this subscript. So what I did, I evolved this prime state, right, to a state, to a final state at sigma 2 equals to 0. So this is our final state. Well, I can do the initial prime state. And so, so in this language, I can ask what is the operator, that performs this evolution, right? So we know that the states, that the Schrodinger wave functions are being evolved by a Hamiltonian of the system, right? And so in other words, so this F equals to E to the minus Hamiltonian of the system, delta sigma 2, the time interval over which I evolved it, and then this is my prime state, initial prime state that I started. So we can evaluate what this corresponds to. Well, in a conformal field theory, remember that up to central charge, this H is simply L naught plus L naught tilde. But actually, there is no central charge if I do evolution in the Z frame, right? So there is a central charge if I do the evolution in the omega frame. But here, since I define my states on circles, right? So I have to evolve with the Hamiltonian in the Z plane, and the Hamiltonian in the Z plane is simply L naught plus L naught tilde. And so the interval delta sigma 2, right? So delta sigma 2 is just 0 minus log r. So this is minus log r. So I have to evolve over a range of minus log r. And so when I evaluate this path integral, what I'm doing here is my final state is going to be equal to e to the L naught plus L naught tilde log log r initial state prime. Let me write down one more line here. So the final state is r to the power of m log plus m log tilde initial state prime. Okay. So this is a so we have two ways to describe this evolution. So the one way is to describe how the evolution occurs on the level of Schrodinger wave functions in the path integral representation, and this is a more familiar evolution of states. So the important thing here is that I know how this I prime state is related to my final state. Right? So I know that I prime is r to the minus L naught minus L naught tilde acting on my final state. Okay. So what this tells me that I know remember that what we do know, we know the state defined at time t equal to 0, right? The state defined at absolute value of z equals to 1. And what we want to do, we want to ask the question, what state it started with, so that upon passing integral propagation, it ended with the state that we want. And so we see that here, if I have a wave function psi b of phi b, right? So there is a Schrodinger wave function here. So here, there was a different Schrodinger wave function. Okay? And so we know that to go from one wave function to another, I have this Hamiltonian evolution, right? So I have this operator r to the minus L naught ruler. So in other words, psi g prime must be equal to r minus L naught ruler acted on psi p. Okay? And of course, the arguments must be the same. So here, so now this tells me that there is another way. There is another way how I can write down this final Schrodinger wave function, right? Psi b. So it's a function of phi b, right? So I can write it down. So I still have to integrate over phi b prime, right? And then there is a pass integral over d phi, right? So this this is such that phi at the boundary must be equal to phi boundary, right? So we evaluate over all passes, right? From that end up at a particular field configuration as we want in our Schrodinger wave function. Then here I have e to the minus s, right, the action that depends on the field. And so here I integrate absolute value of z larger than r less than 1, right, in this action. So we integrate over this washer. And here I have to substitute the psi prime wave function. And we just discussed with you that this is related to original wave functional if I add backwards with it. With this Hamiltonian evolution over. So what I can write here, r to the minus L naught, L naught Wilder, and then here I have the same functional that I started with, but of course it must be phi b prime, right? And it's clear that the only thing I care, I don't care what are the boundary conditions of the fields you start with on this inner circle. The only thing I care is that once I perform this pass integral, I must end with the configuration of the field that I keep fixed. So that's why I have to integrate over all possible values of fields on the inner circle. Okay? So is this clear? Right. So now notice that I have done not much. All I have done, I rewrote the identity, right? You give me a Schrodinger wave functional here, and I can write it down as a pass integral of this type. And it doesn't involve anything except the knowledge of this wave functional that you supplied to me, right? The only other things that I need to know exactly what CFT you are talking about, because that CFT tells me with what Hamiltonian do I have to evolve it back, right? So this identity is true for any r, right? So I can put this in a circle at any distance. But what I can do now, I can write this down now as an integral of d phi. Right. I still have to keep phi b, right? So this is a functional, wave functional. Then here I have e to the minus s of phi, and now here I integrate over the whole inner case. So notice that what I did, I took a limit when r So what we're doing, we're looking at the limit when r goes to zero. So I took a limit here, that's very simple. All I have to do is just to extend the integral in this action to the interior of the unit circle. But here I have limit r goes to zero of r to the minus L naught tilde psi d of phi d phi. And of course I have to integrate over d phi d phi. Okay. So of course in the limit as r equals to zero, that will define something that is localized at r equals to zero. So what we obtain, we will obtain precisely this operator that we're looking at. So now you can see that we can go even from a pass integral language perspective, we can go both ways. We can go from the operator to a Schrodinger wave function by computing that pass integral, or we can go backwards. Okay. In the latter case, we have to evaluate this stuff. And that dot will give us that So now this is a little bit, I'm sure that most of you haven't seen this discussion before. So the Schrodinger wave functional representation. But did you see this before? So what we're going to do now, we're going to actually do one example very explicit. So we're going to use our XCFT and we're going to compute the Schrodinger wave function. We're going to see what exactly that means. Okay? So we're going to look at the example. Example 3XCFT. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to look at a single X here, right? So I'm not going to look at that. Maybe it doesn't really matter. So note that I have to specify a boundary condition for my field at z equals 1. At z equals 1, there is only angular dependence. So I can say that X boundary, right? So this is the analog of what we call phi boundary, right? So it will depend only on the angle, on theta. And I'm just going to write it down in a Fourier coefficient expansion. It's going to be a sum from minus infinity to plus infinity. That's n to the I n sigma. And so we impose a reality condition on our fields, which means that x minus n must be equal to x and stuff. Okay? So now you can think of that whenever I'm talking about this boundary functional psi boundary, right? So what I'm talking about, I'm simply talking about an infinite dimension function, right? So it's going to be psi boundary, and it will depend on this Fourier coefficient x of x. So once I tell you what we're going to do now, we're going to compute exactly so this corresponds to some operator, right? So we're going to compute for some specific operators what this Schrodinger wave functional is. Okay? So any questions so far? So what we what we discussed earlier today is that there is a relation between operators and states. And so the simplest operator, the simplest example of this relation is that when we look at a vacuum, right? So this vacuum corresponds to an identity operator. And so we argue very generally that that's an identity operator in this X here. And so now what we want to do, we want to see what is the ground state wave function. So in other words, once we compute psi 1 corresponding to an identity, so it's going to be an infinite dimensional function of this coefficient x of n. And so this is going to be a ground state wave function. It's going to be a Schrodinger wave function. Remember, in quantum mechanics, Schrodinger wave function depends on time. And so so this is a ground state wave function at sigma 2 equals to 0. Okay, so we're describing how does our wave function look. If you know harmonic oscillator and the string theory, at least this three conformal field theory is a bunch of harmonic oscillators. So you might expect that the wave function we get here must be similar to the wave function for the ground state for a bunch of harmonic oscillators. Okay? And that's what we're going to compute right now. So by definition, now all I have to do, I just have to carefully play out all this general discussion we did before. So by definition, so this psi 1 is going to be an integral over dxi, right? So I have to, but I don't know what I'm saying. So this is an integral over all possible values of field x, right? With a prescribed boundary condition. So this coefficient's x sub n, right? And I have to evaluate and pass integral minus 2 pi alpha prime. So here I have d to z x of x, right? So this is alpha d to the minus s. And then remember that I need to insert the operator a, but in this case, our operator a is very simple. It's just an identity, because we are asking the wave function corresponding to the identity operator. And we have reasons to expect that that should be a wave function for the ground state. Okay? So let's go ahead and compute this path integral, right? So so this field x depends on that bar, right? And so what I can do, it's a quantum field, right? So when I evaluate path integral, I have to integrate over all possible fields with a prescribed boundary condition. So what I can do, I can write this down as x classical as a function of z bar plus x prime as a function of z bar. Okay. So what I mean by that, so I separated, if you wish, a classical part, and I separated a quantum part. At this stage, classical and quantum separation are a little bit funny because in this path integral, I just have those, the field is just ordinary function. So it's the only thing, the reason I did this separation is because the classical adds classical z equals to 1. I will say that the classical part of my field satisfies the correct boundary condition, right? So it's xb as a function of sigma, which is this infinite sum, right? From minus infinity to plus infinity. And then I have xn equals I and sigma. And moreover, what I'm going to do, usually, you know, the classical part, so when you evaluate the path integral, so there is a classical trajectory. Classical trajectory always satisfies the equation of motion. So we're going to do exactly the same thing here. We're going to require that x classical satisfies the equation of motion. And x prime are the fluctuations, right? So this is those are fluctuations. And so the fluctuations are pretty much arbitrary non-singular functions that we have to integrate inside the case. And because we already satisfied the boundary condition with the classical part, the fluctuation part, x prime of z bar, when I evaluate it on the unit circle, must be zero. Okay? The important thing is not whether it's zero or not zero. What is important is that it doesn't depend on xn. Okay, so this is a crucial part, right? Neither So in the pass integral, we integrate over any configuration, right, which are non-singular. And the only dependence on the boundary condition would come only from the boundary condition. And we specifically did the separation in such a way that our fluctuating part does not depend on the boundary condition. So what this tells me is that I can do this change of variables in the pass integral that defines the ground state wave function. I'm just going to write it down as so there will be a factor e to the minus 1 over 2 pi alpha prime and integral d to z, and I have to integrate over the interior of the disk. And so here I have del x classical, right? Del bar of x classical. So this is just going to be a constant. So it's a fixed, if you wish, classical trajectory. So I can take it out of the pass integral, and then I will be left with the pass integral over all configurations of the prime field, right? And then I have with the boundary condition that they must be zero, right? And so here I have e to the minus s, okay? And in this s, well, e to the minus integral d to z del x prime del bar of x prime. Okay, so is it clear? So the cross terms will not be important. Because once I have the cross terms, well, you can check for yourself that they will just drop off. Okay. So the point that I want to make now is that this complicated pass integral that we would have to struggle to evaluate, not really struggle because it's still a Gaussian pass integral. But the important point is that it doesn't depend, does not depend on xm, right? So xm are the arguments of our Schrodinger wave function. So this provides just some normalization constant. So what we know that psi 1 that depends on xm is going to be some constant e to the minus 1 pi alpha prime. An integral less than 1 d to z, and then I have del x classical and del bar of x classical. Okay? And so then what we have to do is clear, right? We just have to evaluate this exponent. And the first step in evaluating that exponent, I have to tell you we have to solve pretty much the wave equation for the x classical, right? On a disk with a specified boundary condition. So what do we know? We have 5 minutes, and I should be able to at least finish it in this. And we will not let anybody in. So, right. Okay, so first of all, we know that that L x classical is just holomorphic piece, right? So it's L x classical according to the equations of function, and del bar of x classical is just del bar of x classical as a function of their part. One is a holomorphic piece, the other one is purely anti-holomorphic piece. And so I'm just gonna write down the solution for you, and you can check that that's indeed the case. I'm just gonna say that x classical, and of course x classical must be a single value. So the solution to this boundary partial differential equation is unique, okay? But instead of trying to solve it, I'm just going to write down the solution, and we'll all agree that that's indeed the solution. So it depends, x classical must depend on z and z bar. So So there will be a zero mode piece, x naught, and then there is an infinite sum, n equal 1 to infinity. But I'm looking for a solution which is a smooth function, so it's a classical trajectory, no singularity, that's why there is only a Taylor series expansion, xn plus red bar x minus. Okay. So first of all, you can immediately see that when you act with del or del bar, you will get either holomorphic or anti-holomorphic. So it must satisfy equation of motion. That quickly answers the question. Second, you can see that it also satisfies the boundary condition. Because at the boundary, right? So at the boundary, what I have that z equals e to the I theta. And so this sum goes into sum n equal 1 to infinity. Then I have x to the n, e to the I, n theta, plus x to the minus n, e to the minus n theta, right? So which is exactly the boundary condition that we started with. And then there is this x naught, and so this x naught is just exactly there, the x naught pi in the boundary condition, right? This is n equal zero piece. So is this clear? So we all agree that that's a solution. It must be a solution because the equation of motion simply tells us that del x must be holomorphic, del y x must be anti-holomorphic. So I showed you this is a smooth solution, satisfies the right boundary condition. Okay? So once we know what the solution is, we can now go ahead and evaluate this exponent. Well, we can just compute the integral, right? So the integral is, I have to evaluate. Have to evaluate 1 over 2 pi alpha prime d to z, absolute power of z less than 1, del x classical, del bar of x classical, right? So I substitute this expression up here into the formula here. And so at the end of the day, I will get. I will get an integral, right? So 2, so the routine constant of 2 pi alpha prime. So there will be a double sum, right? Because I have two fields. So one is the summation with respect to n, the other one was summation with respect to n to infinity. So here I have n times n, those will come because I have to act with derivatives. And then I have xn. X to the minus n, and then I have an integral x to the value of z less than 1, d to z, and then here is z n minus 1, z bar n minus 1. Okay, so this is really trivial arithmetic. I just substituted the expansion. Okay, so computing this integral is also very trivial, right? Because I can go, this integral doesn't look very nice, it has holomorphic and anti-holomorphic part, but I don't have to care. I can just evaluate this as simply the integral dr times r, where r goes from 0 to 1, and the integral with respect to theta, where theta goes from 0 to pi. I can think of this as simply a polar integral, right? And so that is simply r times e to the I theta, and therefore is r e to the minus I theta. So I just plug it in and do my undergraduate calculus. And so what you will find out is that this integral, I'm not going to do here for various reasons, one of them there is no time. What you will find out is that the answer is 2 pi divided by m, okay, and then there is a conical delta symbol, okay, so the integral vanishes unless m equals minus n. But actually, because this is pi here, so this is m comma n. So having said that, we now have a wave function. We now have a wave function corresponding to a ground state. Okay? So this psi one of xm equals to, well, up to a constant, so I'm just going to write down is proportional to the exponential x. And then here I have, so the integral is 2 pi over m, so m will cancel, 2 pi will cancel, so I will have minus 1 over alpha prime, and then I have sum m equal 1 to infinity. So notice that m must be, so actually I am right here, sorry guys. So it's, well, you can check it yourself whether it's m plus m, anyway. So there will be a minus sign here, and then I will have here m, x to the minus. Okay, so this is indeed what you expect for the wave function for the ground state of a single harmonic oscillator. Okay, so are there any questions? Okay, you can see that this is something very straightforward. There is a definition what we mean by Schrodinger wave function. And we just went into some small pains in order to evaluate. What I want to do, one last step. And now we can be kicked out any minute, but it's going to be 3 minutes, but that will allow me. We're not done with the CFT. There is a little bit left, but please, that's a good last point. So remember that one of the properties, the ground state wave function for the harmonic oscillator is being annihilated by annihilation operators, right? So this is a fact that must be familiar for you from just quantum mechanics. So what we expect that when we act with alpha m on psi 1, then we should get a 0. So alpha m we want to write down as a differential operator, much like we would have done for the harmonic oscillator. And we want to check that this as a differential operator, when it acts on a ground state wave function, it must annihilate. So how do we figure out, how do we write down it as a differential operator? In terms, so remember in the case of the simple harmonic oscillator, this was x, some constant del x, right? So this was a combination there. Annihilation and creation operators were a combination of x and del over del x, right? Del over del x. So those were x plus p and x minus p combinations. So the analog of f now corresponds to these Fourier coefficients x of n. What you can check that if we define alpha n minus I n over 2 alpha prime is 1 x to the minus n alpha prime over 2 del over del x n. So think of this is that now I have an infinite set of simple harmonic oscillators indexed by n. And so correspondingly, I have an infinite set of alpha n. And so I have this, and correspondingly for the Wilder ones, minus I n over 2 alpha prime 1/2. So here I have n minus alpha prime over 2. So you can check that if I represent it as a differential operator on a configuration space of my wave functional, right? So those are differential operators that act on something that depends on xn. They satisfy the algebra that we derived before. You can usually check that when this definition is true, then alpha m equals to m delta m minus m. Okay. Again, this is a, exactly, you would have to do exactly the same steps as you do for a simple harmonic oscillator. So if it's not clear, I'm gonna do this explicitly next time. But the important thing now is that you have a specific representation for the alpha n, and I can assume that n is positive, so what I can do, I can now evaluate alpha n at the psi 1 of x sub n, right? Probably want to keep different indices. So there will be a differential operator acting on some exponential, and you can do this arithmetic, and you can see that indeed that equals to 0. So as expected, much like your intuition from the simple harmonic oscillator, the differential representation for the annihilation operator annihilates the ground state. So the same works here. All right, guys. So sorry for running over time a little bit. And please take a look again, and if there are questions, ask me. One last thing, homework. I'm going to tell you the problem now, but you will have at least 3 weeks, okay? So, because next, we're not going to have something for which you can do some computation for quite some time. So the homework assignment I'm going to do, so homework. So it's going to be 2.3. 2.8, and 2.13. Okay, so you can do all of them already. So this is just some problems on conformal field theory, and it will help you with understanding later. All right, guys, see you next week. Bye bye.